Welcome to Out from the Cube, and we should start off the episode by saying Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas. I hope you all had a great 2 weeks off. I typically do not take a ton of vacations. I do not take much time off, and I've actually taken some time off over the past couple of days, and it's been or a couple of weeks, and it's actually been kind of a strange mindset and feeling, and now getting back into work and getting back into the grind and with my clients and with my coworkers and things of that nature. It's been a little strange. So getting back into a cadence of the new year, but trying to get just back into the cadence of a work day, 2 weeks off. And again, something that I typically don't do or am not accustomed to doing. So, but Happy New Year to everybody. I hope that 2019, that you've set the table for it, that you're ready for a great year, and that everything that you want to accomplish and maybe some goals or some things you'd like to do relating to work and your families and whatever else you are passionate about, health, fitness, you know, knowledge, whatever it might be that you're passionate about it and you're getting after it, and the table is set for a great 2019. I did release a podcast over the break. I believe it was last Thursday or so before the new year, and really just kind of, I guess I was kind of all over the place, which is nothing new for the podcast. I went about an hour and 15 minutes. And really enjoyed it and wanted to, it was just me. Typically in the past, maybe the past 20 or so podcasts that we've put out, there have been guests. Jason Wells has been a reoccurring guest on the podcast. But last week was just me. And again, I had no idea where it was going to take us or what was going to essentially be on my mind or the stories or the thoughts that I would have as we kind of move forward with that podcast. But it ended up being about an hour and 15 minutes. I know that I really wanted to focus that episode on closing the table of 2018, reflecting back on 2018. One of the things in with what I do for a living, I am in the software industry. For those that listen to regularly or those that don't know me or my story, I at one point, you know, I don't know if it was, you know, from 18 to 35 years old, was a driven by coaching collegiate basketball. And that was my life's passion and mission and the things that I wanted to accomplish in life. And then at 34, 35 years old, got out of coaching and got into the software industry. And now I do find myself back involved in coaching athletically, really off hours, nights and weekends, and sometimes that I do spend with my boys. But I've been in the software industry for the past, you know, I guess now 11 or so years. So, you know, it's kind of been a shift, but I am in the coaching world now, coaching in terms of working with IT teams and some business teams and things like that. But I really wanted to kind of close 2018 and really reflect back. But in our industry, one of the things that we do is we do a retrospective with teams. We sit with the teams that we work with professionally, again, typically in the IT space, although we do kind of work with the, you know, executives and C-suites and business teams and kind of the whole gamut. But most of our niche is really with software teams. And I have kind of led these or facilitated some of these retrospectives with teams. And it's really, there are many ways to do them. But the idea, and I may get some of this wrong because I do kind of formulate some of the stuff we do based on the teams that we're working with, what they're trying to get out of it and some of the outcomes they may have. But it's really like, what should we be doing? Or what should we continue to do? What should we be doing? What shouldn't we do again? And what should we stop doing? Or, you know, kind of some of those phrases. So when you look back at 2018, you know, some of those things kind of entered my mind as we got going with last week's podcast. But even as I start planning this year and I do reflect back on 2018, like what really went well? What did I like? What did I get a lot out of? What did I grow from? What did I gain some intelligence from and some knowledge from? And who are the people in my life that I need to continue to be around, or people that maybe I should be around less or actually just remove from my life? You know, what are some things I need to bring to my children's life, and what should we continue to do? What should we stop doing as a family or as a person or even with my own, with my company and as a client, with my clients? What should I do personally? What can I do better for my clients? If you're in sales, You know, what can you do better, you know, closing or, you know, prospecting or, you know, as we kind of say, kind of beating these bushes, how can we build our brand? How could we build more awareness around our products and our services and what we're able to provide to customers and clients and other products, you know, it may be. So, you know, so those were kind of some of the things I looked at with 2018. What should I stop doing? What should I continue to do? What should I start doing? And some of those things. And now I'm not saying I have this great exhaustive list, but that was kind of what the podcast was about last Thursday, were some of those things. And now as we're 2 days in to 2019, some of those, you need to kind of take those retrospectives, that kind of introspection, right? I'm going to be honest with you. 2018, I've said this before. 2018, I'm 45 years old. I turned 45 in April of 2018. Without question, the best year of my life. And you know what? It's not even close. Not even close. Had a great year, you know, personally with my family, with my community, with my friends, with my job, with the clients. And there are things I could have done better. And there are things that when I reflected back on that I want to make sure I do better. But it was a great year and really enjoyed it. And now I'm setting the table for 2019 and really want to figure out how this can be a better year, what I can do for myself. So it's the second. If you've listened to the podcast from last week, I talked about a new planner that I purchased and that I am working my way through. And it's really a phenomenal planner. It's called the Full Focus Planner. And it really just kind of locks in on, you know, kind of a big three on what you need to do every day and so your goals and being locked in. But it's really written and organized on the quarter basis, not for a yearly. It is not a yearly calendar. It is a quarterly calendar to keep me focused just on the next 13 weeks, 12 to 13 weeks, and just being really locked in on those weeks, being very goal-oriented on those 12 weeks and getting the outcomes that I want over the next, you know, January, February, March. So maybe just to step back a little bit, I do have big plans for the podcast this year. Gary V, who I seem to reference quite a bit in the podcast, really, I continue to listen to him over the break and the past 2 weeks, and some things just really kind of continued to hit me on things that he was saying and the mindset. It's all about a mindset, and the theme for last year was self-awareness of just being. We used to say in coaching, and this is a phrase that Rick Majerus, the old coach at the University of Utah, used to say, is know who you are and what your game is. So when you're out there playing basketball, and the idea is this, if you're a 15% three-point shooter, you need to know that, you need to accept it, you need to acknowledge it, you need to work on it, but you need to know who you are, what you can and can't do, and you need to know who you are, what your game is, what you're skilled at, what you're not skilled at, what you need to improve upon. Know who you are and what your game is, right? And those are the kind of the things that as we move forward, like you just need to kind of know who you are, what your skills are, what your roles are, and how you can provide the most value and whomever, right? But who you are and what your game is, your roles, and what you're trying to accomplish and what you need to improve upon for 2019. So some of those things. But Gary V, you know, was just being very self-aware. Know who you are, what your game is, what you're strong at, what you're weak at, and some of those things. But I continue to listen to Gary Vee over the break, and Gary Vee said a number of things that I really liked. But one thing that caught me was he is upping his game, his own personal game. He is upping it in terms of content distribution, being able to create content and distribute it out. And I actually have it right here in my notes, in my new planner. One of the things that he says is to put out, he suggests actually, I don't know how you would do this unless you are at his level, but his suggestion is to put out 100 pieces of content per day, 100. So if you're either podcasting or blogging or putting memes out or whatever you're doing on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever those things are, right? Snapchat's a new thing, right? You need to just be saturating the market with content, content, content. Now, he said 100 pieces in what I was listening to. That now, he has a team where all they do, where this is what happens, I believe. I could be totally wrong with his game plan. But his game plan is, hey, I'm going to document everything I do all day long. And I'm going to have a mic in front of me, or I'm going to have a video camera in front of me, and I'm going to document everything. And then essentially somebody is going to be taking that content and splicing it up and putting it on Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram and podcasting and YouTube and Snapchat and all that, right? So it's easy for him to put out 100 pieces of content. But what's that have to do with us and me and how I'm thinking about my year is right here. It says, to quote him, put out 100 pieces of content a day. You're too worried about the opinions of others, and that is why you don't do it. So again, being very self-aware, who you are, what your game is, trying to figure out what you need to do in order to build your own personal brand or build a brand of your company or to kind of become the subject matter expert in certain things that you are passionate about in your community, in your town, in your state, in the area or region. But not really caring about what people may think, right? And just putting it out there. And so that's kind of, I spent last year becoming very self-aware. That was my key phrase of last year, was to, one, be very self-aware of who I am and what my game is. And then two, not really caring. And I don't know how to really wrap my mind around this mindset that I have heard from Gary Vee, but it is the mindset of not caring about the opinions of others, right? And I know we've talked a lot about that, but in order to kind of get over these hurdles and kind of get over these mental roadblocks and the things that limit us, I did read a quote today, and I'm absolutely going to butcher it and not get it right at all. But it is the idea is this: we fail or stop or are not successful not because of our failures. Not because we fail at something, but because of what we feel the opinions of others will be, or what people might say about us, or what people might think, or the whispers behind your back, right? That stops us more than actually failing at the attempt, if that makes sense. I read that early this morning, and that just really hit me. And I was like, you know what? That's absolutely right. So I would rather fail this year in 2019 at trying, at actually the attempt, and not caring about that failure or the eyes of other people in that failure, but just continuing to move forward and fail at the attempt. Right here in my notes, highlighted before I pressed record, I love losing. I love losing. Right? That is not, it's not me. I didn't necessarily say that when I wrote it down. But that idea of, you know what, I like losing. And I don't care what you think about my loss. I care that I get better and I learn and I figure out what I need to do to get better, because I'm going to at least fail at the attempt. I'm going to lose at the attempt instead of just sitting passively by and not attempting because of what somebody may think about me. Right? So who you are, what your game is, being very self-aware, setting the table for 2019, and putting out a ton of content. So what's that have to do with us or me or what we're doing? Is my mindset is to try to create this year in 2019 as much content as I can and try to put things out on as many channels as I can, which is really to me LinkedIn and Instagram and Twitter. And I do have a YouTube channel. But that's maybe what you can expect from me. It's one of these things like, you know, it's just to be accountable to somebody. And I put this out there to, one, make myself accountable. I enjoy the podcast, but what the podcast does for me is it holds me accountable to being up today, to spending an hour early this morning, really early this morning, reading, taking notes, highlighting, underlining, considering subjects and comments and paragraphs and sentences and words, and really seeing how that impacts me and how it can shape my day, my weekend, quarter, right? So those are the things that I kind of think about. Just putting out content and doing as much of that as I can is kind of the what maybe you can expect from me this year. And that's my hope. We are at episode 58. And so the goal is at a minimum once a week. So that would put us at what, 52 weeks a year, you know, put us over 100. We have guests lined up. You can count on at least for this quarter, because I don't want to always commit Jason Wells to the whole year and say, my hope would be is that Jason's with us the whole year, but I do know Jason is busy and has a number of things going on and is wrapped up in a number of different things he's passionate about. But I enjoy those. I hope you get as much out of those as I do. I think I actually had somebody over the break that I was either having coffee with or dinner with or something like that, and just out of the blue just said, hey, your podcast, the episodes with Jason. I hope they didn't mean that the episodes with just me or other guests aren't as constructive or enlightening, I guess. But as those episodes with Jason are phenomenal. So I really appreciated that feedback, and hopefully you get a lot out of those. Jason has a great perspective on a number of things. So tomorrow, actually, I'm recording with Jason. Today is Wednesday the 2nd. This episode should be out today. I'm not really into right now having like this concrete cadence on when to get things out. My goal is just to create as much content as I can and just push it out. Some of these are going to be, you know, an hour and 15 minutes like last week's were, and some of these podcasts are going to be, maybe 20 minutes. So anyway, so maybe setting the table for 2019. Again, my hope is once a week, 52, over 100 episodes. I'd love to be able to get to 125. I'd love to be able to get the YouTube channel up and get more subscriptions in there and get more views and have that hit more people. I'm trying to figure out how I can use all these tools. I'm trying to figure out how I can set up, you know, more of a studio here at my house for the podcasting, and make it easy to produce and do the YouTube and all that. One thing I did say last week, and you know, it's one thing, listen, it's one thing to always sit and compare. And we talked a little bit last week about comparing and really thinking about other people and what they're doing. And man, I'll never be that good or that big or have that impact or have that level of admiration, whatever it might be, right? One thing we say in our coaching world is you don't compare, you compete. So I'm out competing. I'm out to try to win. I'm out to try to win this day. And luckily, this planner, not to keep plugging this, but if you know anybody at the Full Focus Planner, I'd love to get a kickback on this. But this is this planner is great in terms of just keeping you focused on the day, the week, the quarter, the month, and really locking in on what you need to do to win just today. Like, I'm not too worried about right now. I'm not too worried about December 31st, 2019. I know where I'd like to be. I know what I would like to have accomplished in the next 365, but all I'm really worried about right now is January 2nd and making sure that this week, this first chapter, as we talked about in the last episode, this first chapter, chapter one of this quarter. I have four books to write this year, four books to write. And this first book is essentially 12 chapters, and there's seven pages in each chapter. And my goal is just to knock it out today for this chapter, for this page, for this chapter. So that's kind of how I'm approaching it. But to really kind of get into it, I want to make sure that we stay focused on really kind of a mindset of getting out of your cube. So to circle back maybe to what we started in April, this mindset of out from the cube, what that means, how I came up with that name, why it's kind of important to me. And we may, you know, I'm not, again, it's the I have outfromthecube.com, although there's nothing up there. So we're kind of rolling with that that title and all that. But really the mindset is just to get out of the cube that you live in every day, right? And it's not the physical cube. But I'll tell you what, I work in a cubicle most of the time with what I do for a living. If I continue to do what I do for a living, I will be in a cubicle for the next while. There's a company here in town that is a client of ours, that has been a long-running client of ours, and it's a big company here in St. Louis, and we've had a number of people at this client through the years, and I have been there. There was a point where I was out there for 8 to 12 months, and I spent that time in a cubicle. Right. And if we go back and the people that are there, they will be in a cubicle. And 80-90% of the people that work at this company are in a cubicle. But it's not this. That's not necessarily everything that I think about when I think about getting out of the cubicle. Right here up at the top in one of my pages on the first day of this year, even though it's the second Monday, actually started my planner, which is cool. Work is almost all of your life. So why would you hate it? Right? And that, I know that's all simple. I know that is simple. I understand it's simple. I understand that it's January 2nd. And that the mindset, the excitement, the exuberance, and really wanting to get after 2019 is at the high right now, right? I know that here in St. Louis at Club Fitness, that parking lot is full and everybody's excited about it, right? But work is most of your life, and why do you hate it? And it's this mindset of the punch card of going in, clocking out, not feeling enthusiastic, not feeling like this is your life and this is all there is. There's nothing great to accomplish, that I'm working for somebody else, and this is the best I can do. And I just need to fall in line. I need to just fall in line. I need to not do anything I can to further my career, further my happiness, and whatever it is. We've talked at length over the past 8 months or so. We have talked at length about how people hate Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? As opposed to the person that enjoys their job so much and they are so excited about it that it's not January 2nd, but it is like August 17th. And they're still sitting there with this January 2nd excitement that has sustained them through the year, and they like their job. I was with somebody in the past 24 hours. I was with somebody actually within the past 24 hours, and somebody asked them, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like your job? How much do you enjoy it? And the person looked and said, a 2. About a 2. And yesterday was January 1st, January 2nd. I like my job as a 2. I'm going in. I'm parking my car. It provides a great life for me and my family, but I'm unhappy and it's a 2. And I'm going to go park my car. I'm going to get my punch card out. I'm going to punch in. I'm going to sit in my cubicle. And at 4 o'clock or 4:30, I'm going to start thinking about leaving. And I'm going to drive home and be miserable Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So my hope is that what I'm learning this year, and again, it's this, I'm not saying I am great at this. I'm not saying I have all the strategies. I am not saying you need to do what I do. I'm not even suggesting that I'm at a 10 with how much I enjoy my job, right? And I know that people I work with listen to this, but I love my job. I enjoy it, but I'm not always at a 10. I'm not always at a 10, right? I love the podcast and networking and things of that nature, right? But there are times where it's not a 10, and that's fine, right? But there are ways that I'm going to work this year to make sure that I'm more passionate and better, provide better solutions and with what we do for a living, what we do as a company. So, I'm not suggesting that we have all the answers. What I am suggesting, and what you can count on, is I'm going to do as much research and I'm going to do as much podcasting in terms of intake and collecting and finding content and taking notes and figuring out strategies and finding out what works for other people and maybe different mindset shifts that you can make to get out of your cubicle and enjoy that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So when it's August 17th and it's Monday morning, that you have this great excitement about going to work. And you have a great excitement about the solutions that you provide for your client or your products, your boss, your team, whatever it is, right? I do want to get more into some agile type things in terms of software this year. In fact, in 2 weeks, we have somebody who I think is a big shot in the agile space coming on to be a guest. I'm super excited about that. They're out of Boston. We're getting some of that set up and really excited about that. But really want to get more into team dynamics, how teams work. I believe we're putting together a group of software developers that have been kind of labeled, this team, this dynamic team, this, you know, how highly effective, functioning teams work. It's kind of a panel discussion that we'll have with a number of people. We're trying to set that up and find a good time that will work with that. So we can talk about more team stuff, right? You have to understand, and this is the thing I kind of keep coming back to mentally as I survey the landscape of St. Louis, Missouri, the Midwest, the region, the country, and as I talk to people and meet with people and the things I read about and see on social media and Twitter and all these different things about how teams work in the software space. And it excites me in some regards, and in many regards, it just kind of, depresses me, right? Because we are all on a team, and we are all kind of thriving and looking for leadership. And I'm reading a book right now, so I do want to plug this. It's in the other room. I do want to plug this. I've started, if you follow me on LinkedIn or Twitter or any of those things, I posted something early this morning. I wanted to start this quarter off right. You know, I'm trying to have the mindset that it's not the new year, but it's the start of a new quarter, right? And I am prepped for the new quarter. And I'm excited about the next 3 months. And come January, February, March, April, come April 1st, I need to have that same excitement. It's a new quarter. It's not a new year, but it's a new quarter. And I can have that excitement about fulfilling some goals there and being able to kind of chunk the year up into four quarters and have that excitement. So there's a great book out called The 12-Week Year that really, really impacted me and how to kind of phrase and think about your year, not as 365 or 52 weeks or the 12 months, but to really think about your year in 12-week sprints, 12-week cycles, 12-week chunks, and staying focused for that. And then really start, and then give yourself that retrospective we talked about. Sit back and say, man, what went well these 12 weeks? What went really well? What did I do well? What do I need to stop doing, continue doing, consider doing, think about doing? Who do I need to meet? What clients do I want to have? What's that engagement look like? What does that client look like? How can we provide better solutions for this client? What did we drop the ball with that client? Instead of November. Instead of sitting back in November. Have you, for people in the software industry, and I'm not suggesting, I guess I do have an opinion on this. And I'm not, but I don't, I'm not implying or suggesting that my opinion is correct. It's just something that I feel. But for those that are listening that are in the software industry, that when I say a sprint in software, which is a unit of, which is work, which is, hey, we're going to do this much work over a sprint. And a sprint is a time frame. So a sprint would be, we're going to work on this part of the software application or this feature or whatever it might be, this segment of work over 2 weeks. And then when that sprint's done, we're going to start another two-week sprint, then another two-week sprint, and then another two-week sprint, right? Tell me about a month-long, if you're in the software industry, think about what a month-long sprint does, right? And I'm just going to state up front. I'm kind of against four-week sprints. I've been a part of teams, and I have built software, and I have worked on products where we have done month-long sprints, and that's fine. I'm just talking about my preference, my opinion. I just think that is a long, drawn-out thing. I like getting quick work done and demoing products and feeling good about what we accomplished in a two-week sprint or a one-week sprint instead of that month-long thing, right? It's the same idea, right? I can sit there on a month-long sprint and go day one, two, three, four, five and go, okay, perfect. All right, day six, I better start getting to work. Right? Day 10, a little bit more. Okay, here we go. Day 26. Now we're cranking things out. Right? Now we pick it up. It's the same thing in the 12-week year. They talk about this helmet on yearly goals, how much selling for those type of companies that sell products or sell cars or whatever it might be, right? October, November, December, that last quarter, how much work people are putting in to meet those yearly goals. Then you sit back and say, all right, let's talk about the year. Okay, it's December 15th. Let's talk about the year. How did we do in January? What happened in February? What could we have done better? And people are sitting around going, I don't know. And what's that have to do with you and your teams and all that. I'm just sitting around saying, man, I would much rather go on a quarter in 12 weeks. And then I would sit there and even chunk those up a little bit and figure it out a little bit more. But it's so much easier for me to sit back over a quarter, a smaller chunk. And one, somebody said this, and it was Edie Vardell, who was a guest of ours on an episode maybe 3 months ago. And she said, you got to celebrate your victories. Celebrate your victories. Right? And I really like the idea of chunking things up into 12 weeks. So the goals that I have, listen, I'll be honest with you. I woke up this morning at 4:19, I believe. Got up at 4:19, was out the door at 4:40, was at the CrossFit gym at 4:40, 4:55, and worked out at this CrossFit for an hour. Now, that is new. That is new in that I started it in December, I think, right? So I started that in December. I've done a month of it. I enjoy it a lot, but my goal is to sit back and do 26 of those in this quarter. I want 26 days where I get up and I get to the CrossFit gym and I work out as hard as I can for that. And you know what? I'm going to celebrate those 26. I'm not sitting there saying that I need to do 104 of these. And then on December 31st, I'm going to celebrate that. I'm not going to stay. I won't do it. I would fail with that. I would fail. I wouldn't get to 104. I'm going to celebrate that sucker come April 1st. And I can celebrate 26 a lot easier than I can 104. Right? And all I have to do is do two this week and two next week. But really all I'm focused on right now is that tomorrow, on January 3rd, that I'm up and just crush tomorrow, which is being at that gym early in the morning. And if you listen, hold me accountable to that. So if anybody can hold me accountable to that. Okay, so chunking things up and being excited about that. But, I was with a group this past week, and I really want, and maybe this will be the theme for this episode, and this will be the title of the episode. I heard something this week, and I really liked it. And I really like this, and if you're taking notes or if you take notes on anything that we say, this is what you need to write down. I really liked it. And you have to think about you sitting in that cubicle and sitting at the person that has maybe the responsibility you would like to have, or the office that you would like to have, or the team lead that you would like to have, or being the director or being the SVP, like whatever it is, that position that you want, right? And you're sitting around saying, I want to do that or be that or have that, right? And you've got to figure out how you can do it, right? I hope that, I have a friend, I get really sidetracked with this. I have a friend that started up at, it was really good. This was really good. Okay, and I got to make sure I circle back to exactly what was on my mind before I got sidetracked with this thought. So yesterday I did a 5K. It's called Commitment Day. It was up at a place here in town. I don't want to say anybody's name because I don't really have their permission, but it's one of my closest friends here in town. So, and he runs this gym, and it's a big gym, and it's a national brand. Okay. So, and they had a Commitment Day run. Okay. And he's a little bit younger than me. So he's, he's 40. I think he just turned 40. I'm 45. So he's 5 years younger than me. And one of the best people I have ever met in my life. Okay. I couldn't think higher of the guy. Okay. So we're doing this, and he got this new job where he is really crushing it at 40 years old. Okay. And we did this commitment run, and he was organizing it. So he didn't participate, but I ran with his wife because she's friends. And as we're running, she said this, she said, most people have the position he's in as their life goal. That's what they would love to accomplish, is what he is currently doing. And she said, I'm so proud of him because he's already got the next thing in mind. He already knows what he's going to do. He's already looking for the next thing. He's already working to get to what's next. Now, she didn't say it exactly like that, but if you have that mind, but I kind of got what she was saying. I hope that I made that a little clear. I hope I made that somewhat clear, right? And I just thought that was like, hey, you should be looking at what's next, where you can be, what you can do, and not necessarily the person out of envy or sitting around saying, I want that, but sitting around going, hey, what's next? What can I accomplish? What can I do? How can I make more of an impact, right? How can I provide more value to this company now? And what do I need to get there? And not being like, and not being complacent with where you're at, or not having the mindset of, I'm not ready for that position. I'm not good enough for that position. I'm not smart enough for that position, or somebody, the people below me are, or somebody that is on par with me, lateral from me, I'm not at that level, right? No, what's next? What's next? How can I provide more value, right? Because I can do more. I can be more. I can have more. Be, do, have. Be, do, have. I can be more, have more, do more, provide more value, all that sort of stuff, right? And so if you're sitting there in that cubicle looking around, that is how what your mindset should be for 2019. So think about this. I started to lose a little bit of track of what I wanted to do. But I heard this today. Or not today. I heard this, and this is what I wanted to kind of bring up. Let me find it here in my notes. Okay. But the idea is this. You haven't made a commitment to be extraordinary. Okay, and I know I'm not trying to be some sort of rah-rah, you know, we're in the locker room getting ready to play a game, rah-rah speech or any of that sort of stuff. But this resonated with me, and I said it to a group that I worked with over the past couple weeks. And the idea is that you haven't fully committed to be extraordinary. And then it followed it up with, because you don't believe that you can be. So you're sitting in that cubicle and you're sitting around looking at I don't necessarily like to say the jobs or the corner office or the title or the position, but maybe the better phrase is the responsibilities. Maybe you're looking at the person sitting across the cubicle from you and you want that responsibility, those responsibilities. You want to be able to provide that value, that impact, and those results and outcomes, right? You want that. And maybe it takes that extraordinary person. I've seen it, right? I'm not going to sit here and puff my chest up or anything like that in terms of this, but like my brother's pretty successful. I actually would look at my brother and say he's extraordinary. What he's accomplished at his age, the position he has, how the impacts he's had with his company, how people kind of admire and look up to him, and the juice that he has in this industry. Yeah, he's extraordinary. That's just my belief, right? And people that know my brother may say that as well, right? So he's kind of extraordinary. But you have to make that commitment to be extraordinary, to do extraordinary things. Now, how do you make that commitment? And this is what I said to this group. And this was my own thought on it, my own beliefs on this. And I hope this resonates with you leading into 2019. Because the reality is, in order to be extraordinary, in order to make that commitment, in order to make those decisions and choices to be extraordinary, I think my belief is you have to deserve it. You have to deserve it. How do you deserve it? How can you deserve to make the commitment, to feel like you deserve it. Like though that responsibility of that guy across the cubicle or in that office, how can I make the commitment to do the things to have those responsibilities? Well, I think I've got to deserve it. I've got to sit there and say, I've done so much. I've worked so hard. I have sacrificed so much. I have cared so much. I have provided a service to another level that I deserve it, right? And then deep in your heart, in your mind, you know if you deserve to have that extraordinary opportunity or to have that commitment to be extraordinary. So I know that's kind of all over the place, but here's what I mean. Here's what I think about that. How do you deserve something? Most people don't think they're good enough, smart enough, or deserve it enough. So they quit. Or they compare themselves. Right? I can't be that guy. I want to be that guy or gal. I want to have those responsibilities, but I'm not good enough. That person's smart enough. Or people don't understand the work that's involved. They're not willing to invest that level of work to do those things. So it's other people not good enough or too much work or don't deserve it, right? So I think this. I think, and I know I'm a little bit all over the place with some of these thoughts, but I do believe that everything in order to deserve certain things, that you need to start small and start getting reps. And once you start getting reps, you need to start, the more reps you get, the more confidence that is created. The more confidence that is created, the more that you will start to feel, start to know that you deserve certain things. And that comes through repetition. And it comes through the confidence and the repetition and the time that is invested in it. My belief, right? I know there's probably other things that play in that, right? But I believe that there is a fear, and fear is overcome by repetition. Correct repetition on skills. Whatever the skill is, you may be a shitty closer if you're a salesman. You may be really bad on cold calls. You may be really bad on X, Y, and Z in your profession. But you know that you want to make this commitment to be extraordinary. And the first thing is to get reps doing things correctly. So I call them kind of correct reps. I don't have a great phrase for it other than that. You need reps and reps and reps doing things perfect. Having a mentor, having somebody that you can model, somebody that will take you under their wing and saying, hey, I'm going to bring you along and this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to show you what works for me. And I'm going to leave a blueprint and breadcrumbs and all that. And you just follow what I do. And I'm going to make sure you get as many reps as possible. Scared, not as scared, not scared at all. More reps, more reps, more reps. Doing it correctly, right? And now you're sitting around going, this doesn't scare me anymore. I'm really good at it. And because of that, you get more confidence. Like, I'm not just good at it, I'm great at it. Tim Ferriss says that you can master any skill in 1 year's time and be a master of it. Right? And I don't know if that, I totally buy that. We've talked about that in some other episodes. But you've got to sit back and say, what do you, I had this conversation yesterday for about 45 minutes. I had this conversation yesterday about deserving things and also about the level of choices that we make. And we can be anything. So you need to fast forward your mind and your mindset to January 2nd, 2020. Think about that. If you're driving to work right now or driving home from work right now, I'm telling you, man, this past year was great and it went fast. And January 2nd, 2020 is going to happen. What do I want that to look like for me? Am I still sitting in that cubicle? Do I still hate my job? Am I still do I still have the same responsibilities? Am I still responsible for the same things, the same team? Is our team not, are we still scrambling to do certain things? Are we not as organized? Do the people I lead hate their job? Have I impacted these people? How much better is our team's functioning? How much more do the people underneath me enjoy their job? If they were to sit back and say, 2019 was the best, if you had 10 people underneath you, and it was a year from now, and you did a retrospective, and you sat back and said, and these people came up to you and said, that's the best year I've ever had in my life working. Thank you. And we crushed it this year. In here in my notes, it says that the people that like their jobs the most do the best work. And that is, I forget exactly who that was from that I listened to this morning or read this morning. But the people that like, and it's highlighted and underlined in my notes, but the people that like their jobs the most are going to be doing the best work. So anyway, to circle back on this, you haven't made the commitment to be extraordinary. because you don't think you deserve it, because you don't think you're good enough, and because it's too hard to do. January 2nd, 2020 is going to happen. And my mindset that I'm trying to do with my new planner, full focus planner, you'd think I'd get a kick on that, is to continue to kind of set the table for that vision of 2020. What do I want it to look like? Who do I want to be? Who do I want to be there with me? You know, what kind of impact do we want to have with our clients? How many more new clients do we want to have? How is the word spreading? How are we building our brand? Like all these sorts of things that we as a company, we as individuals, and we as parents, like, what do I want my kids to look like? Right? What do my kids want themselves to look like? I asked them yesterday as we were driving around, what do you guys want to do in 2019? And how can I help you? That is a lesson that I would want all of our leaders in our companies. If you are listening to this podcast and you have people that report to you, that is something I would encourage you to do in this quarter, is to sit back and say, what do you want to do in 2019? It'd be better, I think, if you said, hey, this quarter, let's just look at 12 weeks. What do you want to do? Who do you want to be? What responsibilities do you want to have? And then you follow that up and say, I'm in. I think those are awesome. And those are in line with the company, where we want to go, what we want to be, who we want to become, how it engages our clients and all that. Now, I think that's great. And I think you can do it. And I'm excited to watch it happen. And how can I help you? Because I'm all in. I'm taking my poker chips. I'm pushing to the center of the table. And I believe in what you're doing and how you want to do it. And I'm going to sit and watch this stuff happen. And I want to be a part of it because I think it's awesome. So what do you want to do in 2019 and how can I help you? I think that would be something good to tell your team. Hey, 2018, if your team hates their job and you send them home every single Friday hating their job, and you know it, and I know people like that, and I've heard stories about people like that, and I know they don't know that is happening, and if they do, they don't care. But if you do care and you do know, what a great shift that could be for January to start the year off. Hey, I know 2018 wasn't as good as it should have been. I know we knocked some things out. I know we could have done better. Me too. I could have done a better job leading you. I could have been a better job discussing the route we were going and how we were going to get there and involving you and making sure you were valued and contributing and appreciated and felt important. I know I could have done a better job sending you home Friday night with a better attitude, with better mindsets, so you can enjoy your families more and enjoy your time away from here more instead of thinking about here more, right? And it's going to change. I want to know what you want to do. I want to know what your goals are. I want to know how I can help you. And I know we're still going to crush it, because the people that like their jobs the most are going to do the best work. Okay, so to circle back to this, I get excited about that stuff, because it's, as Jason's going to say tomorrow, you listen to the podcast tomorrow, Jason at some point tomorrow is going to say, it's simple but not easy, right? I would think about this. What's the most important thing to you rolling into 2019 relative to your teams? Think about it. If you're doing insurance, if you're doing medical, if you're selling cars or selling shoes, if you're a basketball coach, if you're a software consulting company, right? If you are any of those, anything you do, what's the most important thing for 2019? And I can only offer suggestions. Mine would be the team. It would be my people. They're the most important thing to me. How we get along, how we communicate, how we goal set, how we contribute to one another's success, and how much we enjoy our jobs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So if you agree with that, you know what? That is important. I want to make sure everybody here enjoys this job. I want to make sure everybody walks out of here feeling like they've got the best job in town. St. Louis, Chicago, Bellingham, Washington, or Austin, Texas. I just want to know that these people know they have got the best job in town. Okay, if that's your mindset, then I encourage you to consider how much time you actually spend working on those things. And we've talked about it, right? If you're coaching basketball in Chicago, make sure that those people know that you care the most about them as people and their happiness. Gary Vee, at the start of every single one of his YouTube episodes, says, happiness. Don't you all want to just be happy? It's exactly what he says. Just want to be happy. Don't you want to be happy? And now we got to worry about if people are happy, right? It's changed. And I agree with that. And I think that's something you all should consider. You haven't made the commitment to be extraordinary because you don't believe you can be extraordinary. So we talked about having fear, repetition. It does me no good to teach my kid to tie his shoe incorrectly and then have him rep it out, because all he's learning is how to tie his shoe incorrectly. My kids right now are 8 and 10 years old. Both of them can tie their shoes blindfolded and probably under 10 seconds. But when they were little guys, I showed them how to do it correctly. And we did it slow. And we did it perfect. And then the next day, we did it slow. We did it perfect. And we repped it out many times every day. And over a year's time, possibly, they got really good at it. Then, over the next couple years, they mastered it. They've mastered it so much now that they could be blindfolded and do it in under 10 seconds. Right? So it does me no good to teach them to do it incorrectly. But they got the reps, and they got the reps doing it correct, and now they can do it blindfolded. If that analogy makes sense, whatever skill you're trying to do, do it slow, figure it out, get as many reps as you can doing it correctly, because that'll pay off for you. Then that starts to build confidence. And the more you do it and the more you master it, then you're going to sit back and say, I deserve it. I deserve it. That responsibility, that team lead, that executive position, that position down the hall, that with another team, whatever it might be that you want in 2019, you got to deserve it. That's on me too. Whatever position I might want, or not position. Whatever responsibility I may want, I have to make sure that I deserve it. And I deserve it by mastering it. And I deserve it by getting reps at it. And then things will happen. Okay? Some other things, kind of all over that. We're somewhere in the neighborhood of 53 minutes. So we've been going a while. Some of the, I can just go and go and go. Okay, but you have to make a commitment to be extraordinary. And I hope you do that for 2019. And I hope that you look at the next, where you're going to be a year from now. Because you can be. I can be. Anybody listening can be. The reality is most of us won't be, including me. I start this CrossFit thing, and man, I hope that in a year, you know, I'll tell you what, we at 5:10 in the morning, I was sitting there with a barbell, you know, doing, I think they're called clean and jerks or something like that, right? With a 35-pound bar with like 10-pound plates on both sides, which isn't much, and probably not doing it as correctly as I need to be. And I look over to my left, and there's a lady who is 7 months pregnant with more weight on there that I would love to be able to do January 2nd of next year, right? Just crushing it. But I think that's where I can be. I'm not going to be there next week, but man, January 2nd, I think I could be, right? I'm either going to do it or I'm not. You're either going to sit in the cubicle and make some decisions and add responsibility and master a craft and get confidence and not be fearful and feel you deserve what is next for you, or you're not. or it's going to be January 2nd, you're going to say, well, this is it. If you listen to my podcast last week, I really liked this from Gary Vee. I really liked it. 45 years old, Gary Vee's 43. And Gary Vee sits there and says, most people 43 think they're in the third quarter with 2 minutes left in the third quarter rolling into the fourth quarter of life. This is who I am. This is my role. This is my skill. This is my craft and trait. This is what I'm good at. And that's it. And so I'm going to roll into the fourth quarter of life at 45 years old. And this is great. Or maybe it's not great, but this is who I am. Gary Vee made the comment, man, I'm still in the locker room. I'm still putting on my uniform. The ball hasn't even been thrown up in the air. The game hasn't even started yet for me, and I'm 43 years old, he says. That's his mindset. How excited, if you've watched kids play, or if you have coached kids, how excited are they in the locker room? How excited are they during warm-ups? How excited are they during starting, player introductions? How excited are they when 2,000 people are standing and clomping and clapping their hands and screaming and yelling and the ball's about to be thrown up and the game's about to start? That's how Gary Vee is at 43. He's juiced up about what lies ahead. Not with where he's at, not with the role he's been stereotyped and pigeonholed into. He's sitting around saying, I'm still in the locker room I'm in the layup lines. There's 2,000 people screaming and I'm in the layup lines and I'm ready for this game. Right? I thought that was really good by him to have that mindset and awareness about where you're at. I heard this morning, boring is going to put you out of business. And this is from a gentleman named Billy Jean, who is a content marketer and sales expert, I guess. I was listening to something this morning by him. It was I'm not through with it yet, but it was really good. And his comment is, the idea is this, and I'll get into this maybe with another podcast, but his idea is you've got to think different, be different, and get out there more with your content about your business. You cannot be boring, because in this day and age, with the way people work and the way they consume content and the way they hear about your brand, recognize your brand, and interact with your brand is all going to be through social media and video and hearing it and being out there. And if you continue to do it the way you're currently doing it, you're boring. And you are going to be out of business. So you've got to think different, do different, and behave and perform and act different and market different, because boring's going to get you out of business. Now, boring's also not going to get you the responsibility that you want to have in 2019. Sitting in your cubicle is boring. I'm reading a book right now, and we'll talk more about it maybe tomorrow, but it's called Tribes by Seth Godin. And it's a short book. I really like it. And I'm going to get more into it. And it's just really, but it's about, there's a lot in the book. But what I took out of it today, or one of many things I took out of it today, is tribes need leadership. And it's this push by Seth in his book about being a leader. And everybody, this idea that the CEO, the president, whomever is running the company is the leader, and everybody takes that direction, and this factory mindset from the 60s, 70s, 80s is gone. And now it's all about everybody's a leader. Everybody should get out of their cube. Everybody should be interactive and collaborative and pushing the envelope on what is possible. Because that is today, and everybody needs to be a leader. But to that point, boring will put you out of business, and boring is going to keep you in that cubicle. So I hope you get something out of this, and I hope that's not you, and I hope you're excited about 2019. And I hope that you have some things laid out that really intersect you and you're passionate about, and that you don't have to worry about October. And you don't even have to worry about December or July or June or where you're going to be or doing it for the long haul, right? It's just about crushing today. There's a book by Aubrey Marcus, I believe his name is. Aubrey is kind of runs something called On It, on it. It's kind of a nutrition, strength, and conditioning type thing. I believe it's out of Austin, Texas. And Aubrey has a great book that, and the title is perfect. Own the day, own your life. Just crush it today. That's all I'm focused on today. I've got my planner open here to Wednesday, January 2nd. I've got all these notes and things I want to accomplish and the networking I want to do and the people I want to meet and how I want to connect on LinkedIn with people and the type of podcast I want to put out. And I've got 10 things here to improve myself in 2019 that came from The Rock, you know, about just reading more, stop watching TV, letting go of your past, avoiding negative people, daily activity, meditation, listening to podcasts, being grateful, and surrounding yourself with winners, right? I'm looking at this. I just got to kick ass today. I got to just contribute today. I just got to deserve it today. Deserve it today. I just need to build confidence today so I can do the things that I want to do or have the responsibilities that I would want to have. So long-winded, didn't know where we were going to go. That's an hour. I really appreciate it. Listen, I hope you have a great, great year. And I hope you don't look at it as a full year. I hope you just look at it as, hey, chapter one this week, chapter one. I'm going to crush it. Listen, a few things you can maybe do for me. One, it'd be great if you could go and give us a rating or a review on iTunes. Would really appreciate that. That helps us out quite a bit. Really appreciate that. If you could subscribe to this and share it, would really appreciate that as well. Provide any feedback. If you listen to this and we're not connected on LinkedIn, that's the best way to track me down. If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast and this podcast and the content and was something that you feel that you're connecting with or you connect with me and the message, what we're trying to do and how we're trying to create this content, then just please reach out to me. Other than that, man, I just really hope that you're passionate about the year. You know, the years go slow and the days go fast kind of mindset, you know, or something along those lines. Maybe that's reversed. But, you know, this year is going to go fast. It's just going to go fast. And I hope that we can sit back and just say, you know what, I'm just going to master it this year. I told my mom in a conversation we had yesterday that kind of the same mindset that we had with today's theme. But I said, Mom, you're either going to be, January 2nd, 2020 is going to happen. And you're going to be here. Now, you can be the person that maybe does yoga in the morning and then gets a 3-mile run in, does yoga in the evening and is sitting around eating all this healthy food. And at 60 some years old, you become the healthiest person that you've ever been in your entire life. And you're doing X, Y, and Z. And the reality is that's, it can happen. It can happen. Like, that's not that far-fetched. It can happen. And the same thing for you, and really, the same thing for me. The things that I want to do in 2019, it's just a choice, and it's a grind on the day. It is a grind on the day. The other things you can do, Jason Wells has a website that's now up, jasonwells.com. Please go hit that up. He is actually posting all of our podcasts up there as well, the ones at least that he's involved with. I am working on an Out From The Cube website. It's not out there yet. I don't know if you hit outfromthecube.com, you're not going to hit anything. And also, Alan Stein has a book that's coming out. Alan was a guest at the start of our podcast last April, May, June, somewhere in there. And he's put out a book called Raise Your Game. And I don't know if this is exactly the kind of the subtitle to it, but it is how extraordinary people perform and behave. You know, he's worked with some of the most successful people in the athletic arena, and he's got some great stories about how those people think, how they motivate themselves, how they stay inspired, and how they crush their goals and what they're trying to accomplish. So with all that, listen, I hope you have a great great rest of the week. Look for Jason Wells tomorrow with a podcast that we'll be pushing out. We also have a YouTube channel as well. And with all that, listen, have a great rest of the week and crush the rest of this week and this quarter. Take care. We'll be right back.